welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Right, hello, welcome to episode 281 of the Self-Help Podcast. With me, Ed Lamb, and my good pal, Sean Orford. Oh, can you brighten that up a bit, please, Sean?
I can, there we go.
Yeah, we're recording this as well to film, but we're not quite ready to live stream to Facebook. I think next week we might give a little test.
Yeah. We need someone to do the makeup, though. I'm not looking good on screen.
I forgot to do me, put any gel in my hair and all that stuff. Yeah, liveinthepresent.co.uk is our website. Check it out for the show notes and links for any new listeners out there. And if you put your email address in one of the boxes, you'll get some free meditation files with Sean talking morning and evening relaxation stuff.
Talking morning and evening.
Talking, constantly over and over. And loads of other goodies as well. We're talking about community this week and how you can build a strong community. Not necessarily online, but we're thinking more out there in the real world, in real life. How about that, Sean?
Yeah. I can remember community. A long time ago.
I got one where I live. It was
Yeah, you do have.
Some good tips. Yeah. But work to do, I think, yeah. But lots of good stuff to do. We'll get onto that shortly. How you doing? What have you been up to, man?
I'm good. I've been really having a good time experimenting with doing online courses. So I've been doing a lot of stuff in Qatar.
Oh, right.
Training managers and stuff. And then this week it got blown out because they had 85% of their annual rainfall in a day.
Oh, right.
And they have floods everywhere, which is really weird for a desert country. Yeah.
Wow.
And it's really tested their drainage systems because all the underpasses are flooded, all the roads are closed. And they've had to close part of the hospital, which is why I couldn't run my
courses. So I could Google it. What is their annual rainfall total? Is it pathetic? Was it just like a drizzle, or was it actually lashing it down?
No, they actually had really heavy rain, but the thing everyone was saying was it was quite scary because it had sand in it as well.
Ooh.
So although it was raining, it was like a fog. But also, it's weird because I've been there when there's been a sandstorm on, and it's like standing in a sandblaster. It kind of rips your skin off your legs and stuff like that. So, but it was like that, but with the rain as well, lots of wind.
Wow. So, but they're okay, hey? Flipping heck.
Yeah, but it's blown out their water system because the majority of water they get is desalinated sea. And one of the reasons they had to
process it straight out the sea there and...
Yeah.
Cool.
And then, take the sort out and then push it back out again. But it means that the water that goes back out is very heavily salinated.
Salinated.
So that the you can actually see the colour of the salt water. It's very, very dense salt water.
Wow, you can go and lie in it like in the Dead Sea.
Yeah, it's just floats.
Floating it.
Yeah, very clever.
Yeah.
Very clever.
Yeah. Amazing, man. They're building a whole country out of nothing. Amazing.
Yeah.
I've had a little birthday party. My little boy, Jacob, 4 years old.
Fabulous.
My youngest boy is four. But that was good fun. Yeah, I want to give a mention to Douglas Tree Forest School. I know you couldn't make that part of the party, but we had this little kids bit at the start. A little forest school thing for a couple of hours in Stourton Woods in Bebbington.
It looked really good.
I'll put a link in the show notes if I remember. But Douglas Tree Forest School, if anyone around the world is looking for something a little bit different to do for a kid's birthday party, look them up.
They were
really good.
Yeah, looked really good.
Very good. Pleasant indeed. Yeah. And then back to ours for fun and games, eh?
Yeah.
Where we kind of built on our nice little local
community
of family and friends, which is quite a good little thing we got going on, really. But we're going to talk more about this overall in this episode, really. Because where should we start this? Because you've had a little funny little, based on last week's show where we both talked about our motoring-related incidents, you realise that you've actually got a little community on the go here that you're not taking advantage of.
It was quite interesting because obviously the accident outside the front here where they wrote off Robert's car was quite spectacular.
Yeah, I've seen the video now, actually, the CCTV.
And all the stuff with everybody saw it, and because it was there for quite a while before the accident guys came and took the car away, suddenly it's a community topic.
Yeah.
And I've been stopped by loads of people in the road saying, sorry, the lane, saying, you know, how did you get on? You know, have you found them? How's it going? All that kind of stuff. People have kind of taken it on as a big interest story.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing. And it's just nice that lots of people were out there kind of looking out for us. And one of the things about this road, I mean, we're talking about a community generally, is there's quite a few curtain twitchers in this road.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they do kind of perform like a neighbourhood watch, mm-hmm. because they know what's going on in the road.
Like, yeah.
People go up and down the road, they're clocking them. Yeah.
And you haven't got that sticker in your window. You don't see many of those neighbourhood watch stickers anymore, do you? I remember when I was a kid, you used to see got the red around the outside and the black...
Yeah,
man, kind of scarpering.
Yeah,
in the middle, not a black man. I mean, a man, a silhouette of a man.
Yeah, be careful. Yeah, which community are you representing when you say that?
Yeah. So I don't actually. I should have looked that up as well. I will do afterwards to see if there are actual neighbourhood watch schemes.
There are. I've got a resource for you. You can go and look.
Okay.
Go and look around. And you can create your own.
So what are you going to do with your newfound friends? You're going to organising street parties now?
It's an ongoing saga, because one of the things that is likely to happen from what's gone on, because Robert's car got hit on the Sunday, and on the Monday there was another accident in the road, and it's because people are using our road as a rat run.
Yes.
And so we're now talking about canvassing the community in the lane to make it... a pedestrian road, or somehow sealed in the middle so people can only come down either end and can't go right the way through.
For sure, yeah, so it basically makes it residents only that can access it.
Yeah.
Bit of 20 mile an hour as well, just for good measure.
Yeah.
That would do you, and then you'd have somewhere where it's a much more quiet and pleasant place to be.
Yeah, and one of the things for me is in the summer, there's a lot of kids here.
Yeah.
And the kids are in the road playing, and... if any of these crazy guys that come driving at 60, 70 miles an hour down the road, and it should be like a 20 mile an hour road, and it is kind of mad sometimes, it's dangerous.
Yeah.
You know, no good.
Just put like a flaming bus in the middle of it, man. Like in, is it Dark Knight, the second Batman movie? They kind of have to redirect this caravan of police cars that are taking the Joker to prison or somewhere else. And they kind of met with this, it's actually a burnt out, smouldering fire engine in the middle of the road, and the police have to turn off and go down this other way that they didn't want to go. Mm. That's what I suggest you do.
Okay, no. I'll do that.
Yeah, but no, rat running's big on my list, my obsession of kind of making residential streets nicer places to be.
Yep.
There's a lot. I could name loads of roads around our way that are used by people to, including our own actually, to, as a cut through from busier roads. And
yep.
You might think big deal, but the offshoot of it is that it kind of it cuts people off from one side of the road to the other.
Yep.
Kids can't play out anymore, or parents will not think that it's safe. Probably it's not as unsafe maybe as you might think, but you do kind of get that awareness. Oh, you play in the back, and then kids don't get to know their neighbours as well. Parents don't get to know their neighbours, and all of a sudden, you haven't got a community.
One of the other things, I think, is if you've got a community and then you put a big road down the middle of it, you split it in half. They've done that on the Wirral, because we have a motorway that goes down the middle.
Mm.
And it's very, very clear which side of the motorway you are.
There is an actual big life expectancy divide, isn't there, on the Wirral? The M53, I think it's like a 10-year difference in life expectancy from one side of the...
Yeah.
Well, we're on the bad side in Bevington. But I think Bevington itself is okay. But yeah, I mean, you've got Birkenhead, Wallasey on one side.
Oh, we must be on the good side,
though. Yeah, we're only just on the... if you start to think of roads as like rivers, you know, if you haven't got a bridge to cross, think how far you've got to go around.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the way I'm thinking of it a lot at the moment.
Yeah.
A bit obsessed with it. I'll try not to bang on about it too much. But there's a link, citylab.com, 7 keys to a strong community, which we can go through shortly, or now actually. And there's a chap called Scott who wrote the article, and he kind of lists these 7 things you need in a community, a physical community. We're not really talking about online stuff today, or we might briefly mention it later on.
Do you mean like online communities, do you mean?
Well that's something we're trying to do at Live in the Present, isn't it? Failing miserably because of lack of time and what have you, but we've got a lot of pals on Facebook and Twitter and people that we email all the time, which is great, but there's more we could do which we'll come on to. But maybe a lot of these things will correspond to things that you can do online. So the first thing that Scott mentioned is that you need, for a good community, you need good governance.
What does that mean?
It means you need rules and structures. Okay. I mean, I'm the chairperson of a local charity, and that was my first insight into how good governance in a community can work. Because all of a sudden I'm kind of aware of these things like minuted meetings and all that kind of stuff, and everyone having their own different responsibilities and that kind of thing. So you don't necessarily have to have that kind of in depth for a neighbourhood watch scheme as such, but yeah, it's important, I think, that people have roles and designated roles, and that, you know, there are certain rules to abide with. I mean, I guess it kind of also kind of strays into the territory of people's faith in politics and democracy locally. We've had a bit of a breakdown in the recent years of people's faith in democracy, and it's led to some quite serious stuff going on in Britain and America, and some close calls in other European countries with, well, from our point of view, some quite hairy, nasty individuals getting close to power.
I did, one of the things I'm very aware of, is, as you're talking there, is the idea that it's a community, like a street. Is it a town? Is it a county? Is it a country? Is it, you know, it's like, how big is our mindset of community?
Yeah.
Because when you start talking about kind of like the governance, the rules, and yeah, okay, for the European community, you need a load of, you know.
Yep.
But for your street and your street party, I guess you do need people to know what they're doing. And okay, you organise the food, I'll organise the drink, you know, that kind of stuff. So I suppose there will always be rules, but it's a whole different kind of order of events, isn't it, when you're down to...
It is, yeah. I'm a big believer now in my recent excursions and kind of trying to get some local action on all things cycling, that it does begin at the really local level, as in, like, your street and your road. Because I'll talk about a project that I've got going with some neighbours of mine later on, but... from that, I got to know local councillors that came along to meetings to kind of get to know what was going on.
Yeah.
And from that, we got the local MP, Alice McGovern, involved, and she got, and then I got to meet her to talk about cycling as well.
Yeah.
And then I got involved with Rural Council as part of their Active Travel Forum. So I got to meet some movers and shakers there, and people that actually design the roads that I'm getting to know with. And I met people from the police through things that I'd reported that I wasn't happy about. I got to know them. And all of a sudden, this whole world's opened up to me, where I've realised at the ripe old age of 36 that you can actually influence things. I think a lot of people might just go about their days thinking that they can't have any, they don't have any power over anything.
Do you think that from the police's point of view or the local council's point of view, they're glad that you're doing it because you're somebody who's kind of running with it?
Yeah.
So do you think from their point of view, it kind of makes their life easier in a way?
Definitely.
You're doing the footwork.
Yeah, well, I've realised that as well. That's, you can't expect your MP or your council just to do stuff. You need to have that community behind them, otherwise people are just going to be whinging about, why did you do that? If you put like a big planter in the middle of your road to stop through traffic getting through without having consulted with all your neighbours and making them realise what a positive thing it would be, you'd get in trouble, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But what you need to kind of get that movement of people banging on the door of the council and saying, we want this, and then they'll do it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's been quite interesting, actually. And I have sensed that, you know, that I've realised that people at the police and the council are quite glad that someone's come along, or kind of to build... There's a small kind of group of people I've got involved with that are into all this stuff, and we need more, and I'm trying to bring in people here and there and chatting to people all over the place about it.
It's good.
It's really interesting. Governance is key. The second one of Scott's seven keys to a stronger community is to make it walkable, connected, and mixed-use character, which I'm not actually 100% sure on that.
When you're saying walkable, do you mean like you have to have pavements? If you take the pavements away, people can't walk, do you mean?
Not just that, but, you know, I see a lot of new housing estates getting built without a little shop in the middle of it. For people to walk to,
right.
And it forces people from the outset to need a car to go and get a pint of milk,
yep.
And that, okay, what's wrong with that? Well, okay, there's health downsides of not walking and cycling and stuff like that. There's community downsides, because you know, when we go to walk to our local shop to get a quick pint of milk, we meet people on the way, and we say hello to the kids that we know from the area, and we get to know people. It's only little, tiny little interactions, but they all add up to quite important things in this sense of community.
Yeah.
So I get really frustrated when I see new house builds going up left, right, and centre that don't have a little shop in the middle, or they're not near to some kind of little place like that, or a library, or a community centre, or a little church.
How many libraries have we closed?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Quite a few.
And how much? One of the things I was very aware of when I was a kid in London was on every street corner, virtually, there was a pub. And they weren't...
Well, a pub as well, yeah. I'm talking really about shops pubs. And stuff, but those type of things as well, yeah.
But the pub was like a social centre, because if someone wasn't around, because, you know, they'd usually be in the pub having a pint or something, then people would be going to check they were okay.
Yeah.
So, and it was that kind of social centre.
For sure.
Going on.
Yeah, there are these little key things in a community that you need. Mm. And they've got to be walkable, A, because you shouldn't be drink driving.
yeah.
But also because if you are walking to places, aside from the health benefits, you're out and about, you're seeing people, you're waving to people as they kind of... cleaning the curtains or whatever.
Yeah.
And these little interactions create community, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
I'm really
very much
quite interested in all this stuff at the moment.
Very much, yeah.
And that leads on to the third one, which is parks and gardens. A healthy space to go and clear your head.
Because you're lucky where you are, because you've got the pedestrian part where you live with the grass out the front, but then you've got the woods behind.
Yeah.
Which are a recreational facility as well, aren't they?
They are now, and that's a community project I've got involved with, because of the woods behind our house was in a bit of a state, really. It was no one's responsibility. Mm-hmm. And it was a bit overgrown, and it was actually, my lads really liked it because it was like a jungle.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't really that much fun if you were out walking your dog or something like that. But there's a lady who backs onto the woods as well, a bit further around, and she took it on herself. She'd lived there for like 50 years, or has done. And she made it her mission to clean up the woods, and got permission from the group linked to the council that owned it. And they said, yeah, go for it, man, because they didn't want to have to spend any money. And she actually applied for some funding from the, I think it was National Lottery, 10 grand, and she got it. She couldn't believe it. She's like,
well,
yeah. So she bought all this equipment and she sent letters out. And I remember the first time she knocked on my door, and she lives kind of 10 or 12 doors round.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never even seen her before. I was like, hi, how you doing? Oh, she introduced herself, told us the story. She made contact with like the Woodland Trust and some proper organisations to get the ball rolling. And she just said, are you interested in getting involved? I was like, yeah, man, I'll get stuck in for sure. And then from that,
brilliant.
Yeah, we cleared out the woods, or a lot of people did more of the legwork. But yeah, you saw the difference. It was transformed.
Amazing. Yeah. So what happened to all the wood that they took out?
It was used as chipping for the path.
All right.
So there's an official path now, quite a big loop in the woods, which I see lots more people walking their dog and going for jogs in every day now.
Yeah,
it's amazing. And that's, in that kind of public space. We're lucky in my little estate where it's quite a green estate anyway. Mm-hmm. There's lots of grass verges, there's lots of grass anyway, and trees.
Yeah.
A lot of places in Britain have been paved over. Grass verges have gone. Front gardens have been destroyed so that we can park our six cars.
Yeah.
No comment.
Yes, all paved over.
You got some trees, you got some stuff going on there, man.
We have, we have a magnolia tree, like a tulip tree, and we had to wait 10 years to get a flower on it, and now it's amazing.
There you go. No, it's cool, man, it's cool. But I mean, that kind of sense of well-being that comes from a somewhere to go and clear your head, so a bit of green space is really really important.
Yeah
A bit more of that, I think. Number four, partnerships. So I think that's to do with when you find your community, kind of figuring out what everyone's skills are and kind of forming these little alliances and working just gently, slowly but surely, kind of making the community stronger.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? Because how much do we know about the people next door?
Mm.
You know, do we know what they do for a living? Do we know what their skills are?
Yeah.
You know? And yet there are definitely people in certainly here that have skills that you go to talk to.
Yeah.
The guy over the road, Mr. Decorator,
Especially when you get to meeting retired people as well, who might have a bit more time on their hands, and they you can tell they want, they've got these amazing skills quite often that they spend their lives perfecting.
Yeah.
And it's a great time in retirement to kind of put them to use in other areas, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
For sure. The fifth one is programming, which I've got no idea what that even means.
I wonder what that means, actually doing things together.
Is that scheduling stuff in? This is like the American programming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose here we'd have street parties for special occasions, you know. I wonder whether, like Christmas do's, I mean, here we're coming up to Halloween, aren't we? And the street will be full of kids.
Yeah. You know, so will you all like to be switched off, or are you going to have a bucket of sweets?
I don't know, we all have tubs of sweets. So yeah, it's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
And some of the kids look amazing.
Yeah, I guess, I'm assuming that's what it means. It's to schedule in special things to get people, you know, working towards a goal, maybe a smaller goal as part of the overall big picture, but yeah.
Yeah.
Little street parties here and there and something to focus on.
Now, that next one to me is really, really important.
Neighbourhood responsive schools.
Yeah.
Go on then. I agree, but you go.
Well, I've done loads of work from an occupational health point of view in virtually every school in this area. And the role that a school inevitably plays in a community is enormous. But in a community, the school can be so much more than just a school. So if you go down to Coldy, or the grammar school, the public can come in, or the local community can come in and use the swimming pool.
Oh, cool.
All that kind of stuff, you know.
Right.
And the facilities in the school are amazing, but they're only used during the day, 5 days a week.
Yep.
Yeah, but if they are active, there used to be a lot of night school and stuff like that that people would go to in schools, you know.
Yep.
And they are really good social centres, not least of all because all the parents meet outside the gates.
Yep.
You know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I love the school run. I'm in the morning saying hello to my usual bunch of parents and teachers and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think there has been a bit of a tendency to view schools as like child daycare centres, something where you just go, you drop your kids off.
You dump them and run.
The kids are taken care of for the day and off you go and get on with your work or whatever.
Yeah.
Whereas I think schools have a good school is a key hub for the community, isn't it?
Mm.
Whether it be for using the building for other purposes or getting the message out for other things.
But then again, that is down to us in a community to access the school rather than expecting the school to come and access us.
Yeah.
It's that, yeah.
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 And tree culture is number 7, which I should have read up more on that one.
I don't know what that's
the
about.
The worship of trees and tree culture. I don't know. I mean, we do have trees are getting felled, aren't they, in kind of suburban and urban areas to make way for whatever parking, or because they're doing too much damage to our precious paving. But from an environmental perspective, we need like millions, if not billions, more trees planted and growing in the next 20, 30 years.
I was down in Port Sunlight yesterday, and all the roads are tree-lined.
Yeah.
And it's amazing to be there, because do they call them a boulevard when you have trees on the side?
I thought it was an avenue. Is it an avenue tree?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe if you're in France, it's a boulevard. But,
yeah, I think there is a lot of research that we can probably dig out in terms of like the mental health side of trees in an area. It can make a big difference. I mean, actually, Brackenwood is where I live. It's quite interesting because it's quite similar to another housing estate a bit further down the hill in Bevington, but Brackenwood has got grass and trees everywhere, and this other one with a similar style of housing hasn't, and it looks it looks much more, not hostile, that's not the right word, but it's a much colder place. It's when you go into it, it's just a completely different atmosphere. So yeah, trees are important, mental health, and they do a great environmental job, not just sucking out carbon from the atmosphere, but also cleaning our air and from all the stuff what's coming out the back of our exhaust pipes.
Yeah, yeah. But if you're riding a bike, there's no mess coming out the back of your exhaust
pipe. Not normally, no. So that was the 7 points in that article I'm going to link to. There's a few more things I want to chat about before we unplug for the night. But I want to talk about kind of the role of local media and local newspapers and websites to kind of get word out about what's going on, because local newspapers are struggling at the moment a lot in terms of advertising.
We had a thing delivered here earlier on.
Oh, yeah.
I just wonder what's happened to
it. Your World Globe.
Yeah, no, it's the Morton News.
It's like
a little pamphlet kind of A5 folded.
Oh, nice. Hyper local. I'd like to do something like that for our part of the world, actually. Because we don't get the World Globe delivered to our house. I do check it online quite a lot.
Yeah.
But newspapers aren't, like, locally and nationally are struggling big time in terms of, like, kind of keep up with the rise of social media.
But that's the only thing, is that if they are replaced with something online, but are they?
Well, yeah. I don't know. I mean, but the importance is, and maybe people don't think they're important, but getting word out about what's going on locally, and not just the scary stuff about, oh, number 29 was broken into last week. Don't you dare leave the house ever again. But talking about, like, positive, happy stuff.
You say that, though, but one of the things I've discovered over this last week is this huge community online, which is the World Crime Watch.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And it's massive, the amount of people that are on it, because the amount of people that have said to me, I've been in the hospital, and people said, how'd you get on with the car? Have you said, because they've seen it on... because loads of people check it.
Yeah, I don't actually follow that because I don't want to see all the bad stuff, what's going on the world every day. But, yeah, it was a positive thing in terms of getting some questions answered about your little incident, wasn't it?
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but there are a lot of local, world-based, at least, news feeds. I guess the issue is that it's the old age-old adage that bad news sells better than good news, doesn't it?
Yeah, bad news is good news.
So you mentioned that the happy newspaper quite a bit on the show.
Yeah, I love it.
Maybe we should have a world happy newspaper, or there could be... Maybe the lady that does that paper could branch out and...
do locals.
She could, yeah, franchise out local happy news. Yeah. That'd be quite good.
Yeah.
Because there's a free sheet that the council in Wirral have been putting out for about last year called Wirral View, and it's been getting slated by some people because it's a huge waste of money, they say, but I get that, and I actually think it's really good because there's no adverts in it.
Yeah, right.
It's just full of, like, local stories about what's going on. It's not all happy stuff, but it's quite important stuff, I think.
I've never seen it.
The World View, you never got it delivered around here.
No, it doesn't come around here.
Yeah, it's pretty good. So, yeah, just check on how your local newspaper situation is and, yeah, start one. I wonder who does that Morton News around here.
I think it might be one of the local councillors, actually.
All right, interesting.
And so, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Have you got anything else you want to say, or before I just quickly mention about this 1,000 true fans?
No, I want to mention the issue of age, because in a community, if it was a proper community, you'd have young people, like kids, tiny ones, right the way through to old people that would be dropping off the perch. And our communities have become, to me, much weaker because we don't have that mix in the communities in the same way. So you'll get people that kind of ghetto. So a lot of old people live in one place and maybe young families live in another place.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And one of the things, as one of my resources, because I've got two this week, is the programme on Radio 4, no, television, Channel 4.
Yeah.
Yeah, not Radio 4, which is about that they put a load of young four-year-olds into an old people's home.
Oh, yeah.
Got them all interacting.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing to see it, because you can see at both ends that the older people are getting so much out of the kids, but the kids are getting so much out of the older people as well. Is incredible. Yeah. And we lose that. You know, our communities become impoverished because we don't do that. Why do we send our old people away to a home rather than having them in our community, in the street?
I have seen stories about old people's homes that have, care homes that have forged links with local schools. It should be like an absolute necessity, I think, you know, or nurseries, that kind of thing. To get that kind of crossover of age groups and that energy that's zapping between those, the proper youngsters and the old guys. It's good for everyone, isn't it?
So and the other two things I'd say for me about community is that kids aren't playing out in the street anymore, and that's because they're on some kind of computer game.
Yeah.
Or, as in can be the case here, as we've experienced with these cars being smashed, is that if the traffic is crazy in the road, it's kind of dangerous for kids to play out anyway.
Yeah.
And the other thing I'd say is, if we look at our local community here, the main street, it's turning into charity shops.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that kind of thing, because all the local shops are closing down in favour of the out-of-town supermarkets. Yeah, and you can really see it hitting here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Well, I've been thinking a lot about that recently, because Birkenhead Town Centre has, you know, for years and years been on the decline for... I think Marks and Spencer's closed there a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
House of Fraser was on the ropes.
Mm-hmm.
He's on the ropes. And I can't see how there is any hope for a place like Birkenhead as long as there is retail parks like Bromber and Cheshire Oaks still out there. I mean, Liverpool One is an amazing draw. You can't really compete with that, but it's too easy to go in your car to Bromber or Cheshire Oaks.
But there are things like...
pick up your crap and get home.
We talk about plastic, right? You go to the supermarket, you have a thing in plastic. Well, I can go down to a real greengrocer in my local community and buy the vegetables and put them in a paper bag and bring them back.
You can?
Yeah.
But do you?
Yeah, sometimes. that's the issue, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I can, because I could go to Claremont Farm around the corner, which is amazing, but we don't, we know, because it's easier to do it in Leicester most of the time.
Yeah, and it's we're kind of digging our own grave here, aren't we?
We are.
Yeah,
I know. I'm going to do it. Claremont Farm. I'm going to do a weekly shop there, or get all my veg from there for sure.
And I need to go to Tommy's.
Okay, you go down Tommy's.
Down Tommy's, yeah.
I bet he's cheaper than Claremont Farm.
I bet he is too.
Okay, cool. Have you got a resource of the week?
Well, I'm going for that. The Channel 4. But also, there's a site here that I'm putting up where you can go on and you can look at community watch schemes and you can see if there's one in your area. And I, my experience over this last week with all the stuff we've had is that there is a community of people out there that are watching and are supportive. So without getting yourself kind of paranoid and uptight and feeling like the world's a dangerous place, it's good to go out and be a part of that.
Yeah, don't wait for your car to be smashed. You get around looking for CCTV details.
Well, that's what we've done, because we
think of another excuse.
We knew all the roads where the car had driven off around, and we just went and knocked on doors, and people were quite happy to help and look through their video footage and stuff.
Did many people have CCTV that you?
Quite a lot. But in some streets that had terribly posh cars, I was amazed at how few cameras there were. I thought there would have been loads, but there weren't. Yeah. But it's a growing thing, I think, isn't it? So in the same way that your camera, you've got a front camera, back camera when you're riding your bike.
Yeah.
One of the things that I've realised from that and from what happened out here with the car is that if you do have a dash cam back and front, that they, it can be quite useful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one of the things I've also learned, this talking to people, because everyone's now talking to me about car crashes, is that when cars crash, the first thing that the police say is, anyone got a dash cam?
Yep.
Because then they can just see it.
Yep, easy.
Yeah.
I know. Sadly, we get to that point. But yeah, it's funny how everyone's tongues get wagging when cars are involved in it. I know on the World Globe, the comments section, which I try not to check too often, but... yeah, not much action usually, but as soon as there's an incident with cars or there's some kind of article about parking or something like that, it's just everyone just piles in with their 10 cents worth or whatever it is. I'm going to mention something more around building online communities. It's about the time you got some rest.
Yeah,
your iPad say then.
That's right. Yes, tell me.
I was going to say the same thing. Yeah. 1,000 true fans. It's a long form blog post I read ages ago. I need to read it again actually and get my head around it.
Right.
But it's it kind of sets you on the path for building an online business based around having 1,000 true fans.
Right.
Yeah, because
so an online community.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
which we're not far off that, really. So
yeah, I mean, one thing that's amazing for me is that in our Live in the Present community, there's lots of people that listen to this that are all over the world.
Mm.
And it's amazing the emails, messages I get from people from everywhere. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, man. Yeah, so going on from that, our community, if there was anything else you'd like us to talk about in an upcoming show, send us an email or Twitter. Send a message on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram. Ree's very proud of our Instagram account.
And it's very good.
And rightly so, yeah.
Yeah.
And we'll be back next week, maybe with a live streaming test on Facebook. I'm not sure yet. But yeah, actually, we're going to talk about frugality, aren't we? About
being
frugal.
Being frugal.
Yeah, so tune in next week for more of that stuff. Right, have a good week, Sean.
I will.
Say goodbye to the camera.
Yeah, it's weird, though, isn't it? Bye.
See you later. Cheers.